great to have you with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and guess what? Dr. Zorba Pastor is back with us. Dr. Zorba, he's laughing away. Dr. Zorba Pastor, of course, many of you know him, or probably most of you. He's a retired physician, author, and host of the nationally syndicated WPR radio show, Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Show retired after 33 years on the air, but its mission of health and wellness is continuing.
That's right. That's right. I've got a podcast called Stay Well with Dr. Zorba Pastor. If you get podcasts, what you do is you go into your podcast. Maybe it's Amazon, Apple, or whatever. Just put Zorba Pastor in it. You'll get it. It's a great podcast. We've got lots of listeners. By the way, you know, a lot of people of a certain age don't know how to, you know, how to get to their podcast. So my recommendation is stop any teenager on the street or young adult and you say, how do I do a podcast? And you hand them your phone, and before you know it, you'll get it. But anyway, it's called Stay Well with Dr. Zorba Pastor. We've had a great response so far. We're actually in the upper 1% of podcasts already.
Wow.
Which is really good. We've had, you know, more than 35,000 downloads and listeners to it. So people are catching on. And the idea, of course, is to give curated medical information that is worthwhile. You know, we're in the middle of a time when there's lots of stuff out there, lots of kerfuffle, you know, fake stuff, and you've got to make decisions. And it's about 20 minutes long, and we do 5 topics in 20 minutes, and it's a lot of fun. I've got my co-host, Carl Christensen, who was my co-host on the show, and we have a blast.
It's great that you're doing it, and it's great that you have so many listeners already.
Yes.
I mean, that's
well,
amazing.
It's, you know, public radio in Wisconsin, you know, after all these 3 decades, people actually came up to me, you know, when the show, you know, because, you know, the show, you know, after all these years, finally sort of it had legs, and people would come up to me and say, where can I listen to you? Where can I find that information? And then when I tell them about the podcast, they go, thanks a lot. And actually, I was at Overture a couple of times over this last week, and I had maybe 4 or 5 people came up to me and said, I love your podcast. Thank you. And I thought, okay, it's reaching the audience I want it to reach. So again, it's Stay Well with Dr. Zorba Pastor. And we've got a website, drzorba.org, and you know, all the accoutrements.
Yeah. If you go to that website, you're going
to
find out how to get on the podcast.
That's right. Well, you go to if you go to the website, there is a little thing to how to get on the podcast. That's exactly right. And if you don't know how, again, you ask somebody younger than 20 years younger than you, and they will know how to get on the podcast.
Or 70 years younger.
Or 70 years younger.
Here's a number for you to call if you have a question or a comment, or maybe tell us about your favorite healthy holiday recipe. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. You know, to begin with, you were telling me before we started on air about a new JAMA study.
Yeah.
On COVID. I was excited to hear.
The study came out maybe, I think, about 2 weeks ago, 2 to 4 weeks ago. And I think it's a monumental study. So first of all, the name of it, there's an antihistamine nasal spray. We're not talking about a steroid nasal spray. It's called Astepro, A-S-T-E-P-R-O, Astepro. There's only one on the market. If you go to the pharmacy, they're not like 3 or 4. It's an antihistamine spray. It has something called acetylcysteine in it, but Astepro is the name brand. And this particular study was, I think, monumental. They took, it was done 2 years ago. They took roughly 400 people. 200 of them were on a placebo. 200 of them were on Astepro 3 times a day. And they just followed them over, I think it was a 56-day period. Just followed them. And twice a week, they had COVID studies done. You know, COVID test. Did you get COVID? So twice a week, they had a COVID test. And lo and behold, a number of people caught COVID. It was quite different. There was a 60% reduction in COVID for the people who were taking Astepro. 60% wow. reduction. So 6.9% in the placebo group got COVID over that time, healthy people, and only 2.3% of the people who were on Astepro got COVID. So there was amazing reduction. But not only that, there were a couple of other things. The time to getting symptoms, you know, when those who were on the extra Astepro was longer, the amount of symptoms they had were shorter and less of a less duration. And the side effects afterwards, maybe the risk of long COVID is less. I said maybe. So it's the first study of this. We need to have studies repeated, but there's no downside. I mean, this is a topical nasal antihistamine. So I've got a couple of ideas that I think are really important for your listeners. If you are in contact with somebody who had COVID, the other day, maybe about a month ago, I was with some people at the Oregon-Wisconsin game in Oregon, because my kids went to Oregon. Then one of them wrote me back 2 days later, and he said, I got COVID. So had I known about this study, the study had not been out yet, I would have immediately gone on the Astepro for about a week, because maybe it's called pre-prophylaxis to keep you from getting COVID. In other words, so if you're around somebody who says they have COVID, start on this spray, one spray in each nostril 3 times a day. Just stay on that for about 10 days automatically. The other thing is, there's no study on this yet about people who have lost their sense of taste on COVID.
Yeah.
I wonder whether or not this will work on people who have lost their sense of taste.
Oh, what a...
Maybe it'll work.
Fit that
there's going to be a lot of research. It is it's a generic drug. It's cheap. It's inexpensive. Pharmaceutical companies are not going to work on it, but you can work on it yourself. One spray 3 times a day. Give it a month or two, and see whether or not your sense of smell comes back. This appears to make a difference on how the COVID virus actually latches onto the cells within the nose. I mean, I think it's a monumental study.
Well, you wonder, and of course this wasn't studied, but you wonder if it might be useful for the flu.
Exactly. Exactly. You've got it. If you're around somebody with influenza, there's no downside. One spray 3 times a day, over the counter, inexpensive. You don't have to go to a doctor's office. We should be using this more and more, and that's what I think is going to happen. I think this study is really an open way for people to take care of their health themselves. They don't have to go to their doctor. They don't have to get a prescription. They don't have to spend money on a copay, all that other stuff. So, again, the drug is Astepro, A-S-T-E-P-R-O. That's the name brand, which is a Celestine. I don't think it's in a generic yet. It's not very expensive. If you go to goodrx.com, you might get a coupon that works for that. I'm not 100% sure. But it's worthwhile doing.
Well, let's talk a bit more about the flu. you hear about, you know, the flu. I got the flu. What is it cover and not covered?
Well, first of all, there's influenza, and then there are all the other viruses called rhinoviruses. So when people say they got the flu, most of the time they mean they had a viral infection. And in England, they would say, I have la grippe. I mean, if I use that word, they would say, you've got a gripe against somebody. They would never. But if you have influenza, the answer is there are some drugs. Tamiflu is a drug, T-A-M-I-F-L-U, that you need a prescription for. You've got to take it within 2 or 3 days of the symptoms. I have to look up. I don't have the exact number, but it's about 2 or 3 days. And it will reduce the risk of your getting it. Rather, it'll reduce how long it'll be there. It'll help cure it sort of a little bit earlier. We give it something called prophylaxis. If you're around people who get it, like in a nursing home, if a couple of people get it, they use that. The best way to keep from getting influenza is to get a shot. And we are behind. And why are we behind? Nobody likes shots. If I said take a pill, they would do it. And we're behind because of a lot of cultural reasons. People have said, I don't want to get shots anymore. So Wisconsin, you know, is behind. But anyway, mother's chicken soup, that's my treatment. Turn on the vaporizer. Wear a mask around other people. Stay well hydrated, very important. Get a vaporizer in the room next to your bed. right next to you, so you you retain that moisturizing, so you breathe a little bit better. Those are really the ways to treat it. By the way, if you go in and get a test, let's say you say, I think I have influenza, go to your doctor and get a test. There's something called the false negative test, where you have influenza, but the test says you don't. Well, it turns out the false negative test for influenza test is 30%. So in other words, if you go to your doctor's office and say, do I have influenza? And if it says, no, you don't, 30% of the time, it's wrong. You really did have influenza.
Well, I had my shot, I don't know, a few weeks back, my flu shot, and I had the COVID shot at the same time.
Yeah. Did you get a fever at all? Achy?
I got them both at the same time.
Yeah, but it's good. Actually is better.
It is?
It is better. You get a better response. You get a better immunological response if you get multiple vaccines at the same time. And that's why for children now, we give 4 vaccines at once. Every vaccine helps get the inflammatory response increased for the other vaccines. Yeah.
So the day after, I was a little, feeling a little off.
Yeah, take some Tylenol,
But it was, I knew what it was.
Right. And that's your body mounting the immune response. So the white cells are ready, the antibodies are ready. And when you come into contact with COVID and the influenza virus, which you probably will because it's all around us, you have a better chance that you will have either you'll be totally fine or you'll be partially fine. And that's a little price to pay. So I tell people, if you're worried about it, do it on a Friday when you're not working. So if you don't feel totally well on the weekend, it'll be a Saturday, and then take some Tylenol.
Yeah. I'm wondering, it's not too late, is it?
To
get vaccinated?
No.
Here we are.
Not at all. Yeah.
And I'm also wondering, now this goes back a ways, but there were. I'm remembering.
Come on, you're older like I am. What's back a ways?
I 20 years ago, I can remember hearing, and actually probably on this show, that you get the flu shot, but if the flu strain that becomes prevalent. Mm-hmm. Is not the one you got the shot for.
Well, what happens is influenza, it rotates around the globe. And so the influenza that is present in Australia in our summer is then how they make the influenza vaccine that we ultimately get. And sometimes there are genetic changes that occur between Australia and here, between that side of the world and here. And so sometimes the strain is not the strain that we think. And it takes them, a few months to actually make the vaccine. So that is still the case. And this year, I haven't looked at the CDC lately or our state medical society, which is really good. I haven't looked to see whether or not this is the prevalent strain. I have not heard that it isn't the prevalent strain. But that happens every year. Sometimes they hit it on the head and sometimes they don't because the strain changed. Influenza is smarter than us. It's a really smart virus. Yeah.
Well, the last time I didn't get a shot was probably 30 years ago when I got the flu.
Yeah,
and I never want that again.
Yeah. I have to tell you, that was the case too. When I was in medical school, everyone didn't have to get the shot, and I was on the bed. I was out for like 4 or 5 days, and I was out, and I was in my 20s, and I thought, I never want to go through that again. And influenza kills, depending on the year, anywhere between 40 and 80,000 people in the U.S. every year. 40 to 80,000 people die of influenza every year. And if we all got immunized, that number would probably be down to 5 or 10,000.
Oh, man. Should you go and see the doctor if you get the flu?
Well, I would get, first of all, what I would do is I would get on MyChart, Epic MyChart. That's a better way to contact your physician. I would put your symptoms down, and then they have a protocol. So the protocol for every office, SSM, Dean Clinic, and also Dean Clinic, and then also the UW and others, they have a protocol. So in some cases, they'll say, stay at home. You've got a temperature of 101.5. There's usually a temperature in there. Make sure you've got a good thermometer. They'll ask you to take a few other vital signs, and they may then give you Tamiflu, which is the medication, over the phone with a prescription without seeing you. And they, a lot of times that is, they follow a influenza protocol. So I would highly recommend, once again, getting your temperature your symptoms, writing it on my chart, sending it to your doc, and you might get a response. You should get a response.
Yeah, typically you'll get a response the same day.
You should. You should. And if you don't get a response the same day, send a note and say, why not? That's right.
Yeah. And you don't have to go anywhere. It's fast.
Right. Right. And you can get it, and it can go right to the pharmacy. And a lot of times we do that, especially in the middle of the season. And there's no reason to get you out of the house, get you in, have you sitting in the waiting room, infecting other people, even if you got your mask on. No, it's better to treat at home if that can be done. This is a very good example also of the use of a Zoom call. You know, this is the perfect example of the use of that. And this is where something during the COVID pandemic, really, we learned how to do. And this is a good example of a use for that.
Dr. Zorba Pastor, our guest today. It's great talking with him. He'll be with us right to the top of the hour. Great to have him with us. Questions or comments for him? Maybe a recipe? I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. You could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller with my guest, Dr. Zorba Pastor. His new podcast is called Stay Well with Dr. Zorba Pastor.
That's right. That's my name.
That's your name.
That's my name. Exactly. And once again, we're doing well. And if you don't know how to put on podcasts, ask somebody 10, 20 or more years younger than you are, and they'll figure it out. It's really easy. So I brought a recipe.
Yeah.
You said bring a recipe.
I wanted you to have a recipe because that's kind of part of...
That's part of me. That's part of my DNA. It's sort of how I roll. So this recipe I developed in college. Now, let me tell you, I graduated from the University of Wisconsin in 1969, so this is really an old recipe, but it works really, it's really good. And if you've never had pumpkin soup, you've got to try it. It's totally different than pumpkin pie. I mean, it's really good. This is an incredibly easy recipe to make, and you've got a copy. And
it is look easy, but it also looks really good.
It's really good. It is really good. Okay, you start out with, take a large onion and dice it. So dice a large onion. You're going to need some butter, a couple of tablespoonfuls of butter, 2 tablespoonfuls of butter, and 2 tablespoonsful of flour, any kind of flour you have around the house. You're going to need 4 cups of either chicken broth or veggie broth. Okay, I like chicken broth, so I do it, which you're going to heat to a simmer, put it on the stove, just get that up to a simmer, and then a 15-ounce can of pumpkin. Make sure when you look at the pumpkin, it's just pure pumpkin, because sometimes you'll look there, and it'll say pumpkin for pumpkin pie, and it has sugar in it. So look at the label, and it should say contains pumpkin. That's all you want to contain. Half a cup of half and half cream, and a little bit of salt. That's all. So it's very very simple recipe.
Saute the onion
and butter. That's right, until it's clear. Add those 2 tablespoonfuls. A flour to it, mix it around. You're making sort of a little roux, mix it around. And once it's there for about 2 more minutes, then add the broth, whisk it really well so it's all there. Then you take the can of pumpkin, put it in there, whisk the whole thing together, cook it with the top on for about 30 minutes roughly, very, very low heat. Just cook it for 30 minutes and then add the cream, taste it. And if you want it creamier, you might decide to add a little more cream. Sometimes I add a little more cream. Sometimes I want it to be a little bit pumpkier. I'll add a little bit more, a teaspoon at a time. And then when you're all finished, add salt to taste. And I must tell you, this is a dynamite recipe. And if you want to make it super special, get pumpkin seeds, shelled pumpkin seeds, and put them in a fry pan and just toast them up. and put them on the top of it. And that'll make it even more special. And then if you want it really special to make it gourmet, then put a little olive oil on top of it, you see. So you can make it gourmet. So either it's college way, special, or gourmet. It's a three-way of doing
it. I am definitely going to try this because it's easy.
Yeah, it tastes really good.
And, you know, most of the time I'm home alone, and I could
have really
pumpkin soup for a few days on that.
Yeah, it really is good.
Well, you can join in, too. The number's 800-642-1234 or email to talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Another phrase that comes up is the common cold.
Right, yes.
And the symptoms are things like what? Sneezing, runny nose.
Right.
Maybe a cough.
The common cold is something that happens to someone else. When it happens to you, it's no longer common. It's the unique cold. And once again, there are a variety of viruses that are around, and for a number of reasons. First of all, the cold weather itself may actually make these viruses more prevalent and able to stay in the air longer. That's one thing. The second thing is we come indoors. We're in close confines much more. You know, we're more likely, if we go into buildings, to be in elevators, you know, we can spread it. So one way to keep from getting the common cold, which they do in Asia and have done for years, is you wear a mask. You don't have to be afraid of COVID. You can just say, I don't want to get a virus, and you wear a mask. When you are in the grocery store, perfect example. You're in the grocery store. You're next to other people buy the fruits and vegetables. That's the most likely time you're going to get it. When you're in Quick Trip, think about it. You go into Quick Trip, you get something. You might go by four or five people, and that's where the virus is. You go by somebody, they're breathing out, you're breathing in, you're walking by, you're breathing in their air. Put on a mask. That's what you do. Take Purell and wash your hands. Use Purell. You can't use it too much. Do it frequently because, once again, these viruses can be on your hands for a minimum of time when you touch the door handle. And then hydrate yourself because we know that's good for good health. 6 to 8 glasses a day. When it's dry in your house, vaporizer in bed because you're in bed for 8 hours a day roughly. You know, when you're in bed. I'm a big believer in vitamin C containing fruit. So an orange or two, get the fiber better than the juice. I think that makes a difference. And I'm also a big believer in vitamin D because in the wintertime, we don't get enough vitamin D. If you wanted to get vitamin D in the sun, for example, in January, you'd have to go outside, take off all of your clothes that are on your chest, and stand outside roughly for 30 minutes, male or female. And you can just picture that. It's not going to happen in Wisconsin.
It's not a picture I'd like.
So that's 2,000 IUs, 2,000 international units of vitamin D, cheap, inexpensive. I recommend that all winter long, probably from anytime from Halloween on. So just make sure you take vitamin D in the winter when you're not out there. And I think that may also help with your immunity. And vitamin C, again, I believe you should get it from fruit like oranges. You can take a tablet, but better to get it from fruit.
Well, here I am. I had the vitamin D pill this morning along with my one a day, and I have an orange.
Good. Oh, hey.
In my lunch.
Hey, see, you've got it. See, and you exercised this morning. You got out and you walked. You know, you're going to live at least, you know,
another minute. Oh, boy. Well, you know, I can't imagine. Well, going to the doctor, I suppose, but again,
there's nothing you.
Well, nothing they're going to do.
Well, that's why sending out a note through my chart with those symptoms can really help because you also get maybe some individualized instructions. But most for the most part, it's hydration, and like I said, some C-containing fruit, vitamin D, a multivitamin I think is good, especially during the wintertime. Eating the usual fruits and vegetables, and masking up during the season when you're close to other people. For instance, when you're on an airplane sitting there, you're very unlikely to get any, unless the person next to you is sick. But walking into the airplane and going down, you know, that runway, when you're going down rather the gateway onto the airplane, think about it. You have all these people coughing and breathing and you're in this closed environment and you're walking onto the plane, I mean, that's where the viral load occurs.
Or the hour wait.
Yes, or the two-hour wait.
Or the two-hour wait.
Right.
Beforehand is what's going to do it for you. Well, you mentioned that pumpkin soup recipe. And by the way, we're going to post that up on the Larry Mueller Show. So go to our page, talk at wpr.org/Larry, or type in the Larry Mueller Show, WPR, and it'll come up. And today's date. And typically it takes a couple hours to post this program. Mm-hmm. By 2 o'clock, let's say.
2 o'clock. That's right. So they can have it for Thanksgiving if
Jeff
they
Robbins.
Want to make it.
Yeah. And speaking of Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. I saw mm-hmm. your article yesterday in the Wisconsin State Journal,
which I
always read. And I was interested in your comments about eating at Thanksgiving.
Right. You know, so, yeah, Thanksgiving.
Forget about it for one day?
Forget it. That's right. That is not a time to look at a diet. I mean, there are times to do that, but it's not during Thanksgiving. You should eat as much as you want to and then eat more than that. I mean, that's what I think. Be careful about the alcohol libation, because if you sat next to my Uncle Albert, you know, you went, you know, and I always like to tell the story. So my Uncle Albert, he was the curmudgeon. Everyone by law must have at least one curmudgeon in the family. And, you know, they're there for Thanksgiving. And they just want to get you into a discussion, because whatever tribe you're on, you're on the other tribe. So I had my cousin Larry, that was his son-in-law. And Larry always worked hard. That's what my Aunt Myrtle said, because after Thanksgiving, he'd be so tired, he'd go and sit on the couch and sort of close his eyes and go to sleep. And one year, I sat on the couch next to him, closed my eyes, and he opened his eyes and he looked at me, and I realized he wasn't asleep. He was just looking like he was asleep, so he didn't have to engage with his father-in-law during Thanksgiving. So if you don't want to engage in somebody, you can say, I'm really tired, sit on the couch and close your eyes, and just enjoy the show.
We just got a call from someone who wonders if you could repeat the name of the nasal spray
sure.
that we were talking about, and maybe...
Yeah, let me go into that again.
Yeah.
So the brand name is Astepro, A-S-T-E-P-R-O, Astepro. The generic name is Astellazine, but use the word Astepro. It's easier to remember. But also, if you go to the pharmacist and you say, I want the nasal spray, the antihistamine nasal spray, there is only one on the market. That's it. So they'll send you immediately to the right one, because that's the only one that exists. And it's one spray 3 times a day in this study that dropped the chance of getting COVID by 66% during this time. So some people may just decide during the season they're just going to take one spray 3 times a day. Now, whether or not one spray once a day or twice a day will work, I don't know. I know that during the study, that's more than is recommended on the product insert. The product insert doesn't say 3 times a day. And I don't know why they chose that. Maybe they decided it was an 8-hour drug every 8 hours. I'm not sure. But anyway, Astepro, one spray 3 times a day. The reduction in this group of people, 400 people, 6.9% of them got COVID during this period versus 2.3% who took the spray who did not get COVID. So in other
That's
words,
big.
The placebo group was 66% more likely to get COVID.
And furthermore, it could be a help when it comes to the flu.
Long COVID? It may be
or
a help.
Long COVID.
It may be help. We don't really know. I'm sure there's going to be a study coming on. We know that it's good for prophylaxis if you're in a room with somebody who had COVID. We know that even if you feel like you're coming down with symptoms, it appears and you're taking it, that the time to the symptoms is less and the duration of the symptoms are less too. So, and it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's not expensive. Doesn't cost anything.
And also, here's another email. Can you repeat the amount of vitamin D that's needed? What if you're drinking milk and eating yogurt? Does that make any difference?
Well, there is some vitamin D in milk, and the amount of vitamin D in milk from irradiation that we put into milk basically got rid of rickets in the world, certainly in the United States. That was, but that's not high enough, I think, for this. So I recommend 2,000. They come in 1,000 international units, 2,000 international units. I think last time I looked, I think it was, $8 or $10 for like 100 pills or 200 pills. You could take 5,000. I don't recommend anything over 5,000, but I think the data shows 2,000. I used to recommend 1,000. I recommend now 2,000. I take it every day. I just put it in my, I'm an old guy. Yeah. I'm 78. I used to not have to take any pills, but now I take a cholesterol pill, and I won't go into it in detail, but, hey, I made it to 78. I take a multivitamin every day, and there's not enough D in there, and I take 2,000 units of D every day, and then I have at least one or two pieces of fruit for C.
And you know what I do? I bring to work yogurt.
But that's great.
And then I stick...
That's calcium, which we need. Yeah.
More the vitamin D and the one a day.
In the yogurt?
Yeah. That's breakfast.
That's not a bad idea. You stick it in. That's a great idea.
And so I hope my boss isn't listening, but I do have breakfast every morning at work. Because I found it's easier to bring the vitamins and so forth to work and have them in, because I might forget in the morning when I leave, and then I forgot to take this and that.
Well, you bring up a really important point. In order to change a health habit, you have to think about what's going to work for you and experiment. So you experimented with this, and you discovered if you put it in there, you're more likely to have it. And so you came onto that one day, and basically that's how you're taking your vitamins all the time. And that's a great thing. And experimenting with a health habit can make a difference. So I'm allergic to exercise. Even thinking about it, I break out in hives. And I have a trainer twice a week, and I've decided I want to up my game. People in the morning do better with exercise. I hate mornings. I hate doing it. But about a month ago, I thought, I'm going to do 7 minutes of exercise. I got an app in the morning. And I've discovered that I'm doing it in the morning, though in the afternoon and evening, I made excuses. So my health habit, we'll see if it continues. The time of the day really made a difference for me. So you and your yogurt and your food, great idea. People should try that. And you need a container of yogurt. Calcium from a pill is good. Calcium through natural sources appears to be better and more likely to help your skeleton.
Well, I'm glad I guess I'm glad that I'm doing it. And it was mostly a convenience thing for me. And the same for me, I'm late afternoon when I'm done with work. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I just don't feel like going for 2 or 3 miles.
No,
but
right.
I can do it in the morning and get it out of the way.
Yeah. Right.
And I purposely have my parking a mile from the office.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So I walk.
So that gives you.
I walk.
That really is important. No, all of those things lead to exercise and are more likely. We know any amount of exercise is good, not just for the body but for the brain. We know there's very, very good research that one of the things that will help reduce the risk of dementia problem and memory loss, and one of the risks as you're losing memory in different ways, mm-hmm. is to exercise. And study after study has shown, and there's no magic to exercise, it's doing something. And you're walking a mile to get to the car. And then
and a mile back.
And a mile back, right. And then you're walking in the morning. Helps your brain. It doesn't just, and it keeps you, it lowers your risk of falling. And if you fall, break your hip, at your age, there is a 25% chance you will be dead within 1 year from a fractured hip. 25%. And your walking reduces the risk you're going to fall. And with the calcium you're taking and the balance from walking, the chances you'll break your hip also happen to be less.
Yeah. Well, I get 4 miles in of walking without even trying.
Wow.
Uh-huh. So
it's kind of amazing. Yeah, without even, because you put it as part of your day instead of, I have to go to the gym and do this, which some people like. I call them gym rats. I can't wait to go to the gym. And I thought, you go, I'm staying at home. But walking and moving like that, what a great way to stay healthy and enjoy it at the same time.
Don emailed, could you go into more detail on what long COVID actually is? What are the long-term symptoms people get? How long does long COVID last?
Well, so first of all, there are the taste symptoms and nasal symptoms. So when COVID really happened before the immunization, I remember going into the hospital and talking to one of the guards, and I said, "How are you doing in the hospital?" He said, "Terrible." I said, "Well, I just had COVID, and when people bring the flowers and it smells like garbage to me." I said, "Garbage?" He said, "Rotting garbage." So I thought, that's terrible. So about, I don't know what the numbers are, 10 or 20% of the people who have COVID continue to have smell problems and taste problems. About 95%, over a period of time, 95% of them will have almost complete resolution after a year. I said almost complete, but not. The other 5% go on. Some of them never taste the same, never taste food the same again. Some of them never get it back again. For some of them, it's minimal. For some, it's maximal, which is why the Astapro spray 3 times a day might help them. I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. It'll be an interesting study that might be done. For other people, it's something that goes on within their brain. They go, "I'm not thinking as well. I feel tired. I feel weak." So there's something that happens with dopamine, with dopamine production in the brain, we don't understand it, or oxytocin within the brain or serotonin. And these are things that affect our mood and thinking, or maybe something in the hippocampus. We don't quite understand it. And then for other people, they just feel weak. And the problem is, because we don't have a way of measuring this with a gauge, like we do a thermometer, there's some people who poo-poo it and say, "Well, there's no such thing." And they're wrong. It really does exist. There's no doubt about it. And it's problematic. And whether or not this common spray will make a difference, I don't know. But there's some people who just are not the same at the end of COVID. And the best way to keep from getting COVID is to be immunized and to get the latest immunization, get the shot, go there, get the shot, and ignore the kerfuffle, in Washington. I don't want any politician to determine my health care. I want to do it with my doctor. I want to read good information. I want to make that decision. And in fact, the reason that I'm doing my podcast, Stay Well with Dr. Zorba Pastor, is to give people that good information so they can look at it and they can make their own individual choice.
Conrad in Milwaukee has a question relating to Astapro. Let's go there. Conrad, hello.
Hi, I'm a teacher. I have 2 days a week. I meet with classes of 30 students, and I was wondering if I do the Astapro to limit getting COVID, should I do it every day of the week or just on the days I'm going to be meeting with students?
Well, first of all, in this study, they did it every day because they were just looking they didn't know when you were going to get it. Mm-hmm. I would say in your case, do it during the week when you're around the kids. I mean, the issue is, we don't really know that much about it, but the issue is maybe this keeps the virus from latching onto the nasal receptors. That's the theory right now behind it when I read the actual article. Yeah, I would say during the weekend. If I was a teacher, I'd take a spray in the morning. I would do it 3 times a day. I'd take a spray in the morning, spray when I get home, and a spray before I went to sleep, and I just do it. And as long as you can tolerate it, and it has minimal side effects, it's an antihistamine, I would continue doing it during the season when you're around the kids. Mm-hmm.
Conrad, thank you very much for calling. And Rick in Belleville, your comment.
Hey, Zorba and Larry, just joining your group of 70-plus-year-olds in this discussion. I'm a retired ER doc. Mm-hmm. Zorba, a couple things. I'm really sorry your program's leaving the air. I have to admit to listening to it and marveling at your ability to interact. Here's my comment about your ability to do what you do. And common sense combined with science is what I would say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And that's valuable not only to a physician who's listening, but to any patient who's listening.
I appreciate that.
The other question I would have is now that you're 70 plus and you're a consumer of services like we come to be when we get to these ages. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to be a consumer of services, and what do you think of the services that are provided to you and to us at our advanced age? That would be one question. And then with the physician extenders that are seemingly being used much more frequently, what's your feeling about what that what will happen with that, and where that is going in our medical care system? And once again, I'm sorry to see that you've put it away for now, but your podcast sounds good and very much valuable show that you've provided, and wonderful. I've got to compliment you. And
Rick, thank you very much for calling, and we'll get your response in just a minute. But a quick reminder, I'm Larry Mueller with Dr. Zorba Pastor. You're listening to WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News as we visit with Dr. Zorba Pastor about, well, we've been talking about COVID. We've talked about flu and cold and
pumpkin.
Pumpkin. We got a recipe pumpkin for soup. Pumpkin soup.
Right.
And we are going to have Dr. Zorba on a regular basis next year. We're just going to do that.
I would love to do that. Public radio is my heart and soul. Even though I have a podcast, you know, Stay Well with Dr. Zorba Pastor, I am a public radio nerd from start to finish. I like the word nerd because I am a nerd.
Well, Rick in Belleville had some comments about your approach as a doc, and then also how it maybe feels to become a patient, among other things.
Right,
and
right,
I think you wrote
right.
it.
Well, there are two questions he had. So first of all, you know, what about physician extenders, nurse practitioners, and PAs? I think they're good. You know, you find one that's good. They can be just as good. They're under the, you know, the physician is their umbrella, and they handle many of the common things. In our office in Oregon, we have, you know, we have the same thing. We have PAs that are absolutely fantastic. They do a great job. So I think when it comes to a more complex problem, you want to have a physician take care of it. And I think you have to look at the decisions that are made. If you have a decision to make, especially on something that's critical, I would go, myself, I want to go to the person with the highest level of understanding and education. But I think extenders are great. Are they more common? Well, they have been more common all along. And they're good. And they work together. Medicine is a team sport. It's no longer the physician who's there dedicated to their family, working 80 hours a week, not spending time with their family. It's a team sport. My daughter Didi is a doctor. She works with a team out in Seattle as a hospitalist when she does that, and she also works on addiction medicine. It's a team sport. And then next, consuming services. How do we do that? Well, the best way to consume medical services is by health literacy, being educated as to what you need, and then following up with that, using my chart correctly, asking what you need for this. One question, not four or five questions, because that means you need actually a call. And then you have to learn how to consume services like everyone else. So I think as a doctor, I've learned that with my providers. That's what I've learned. I think that answered the question.
Yeah, Rick, thank you very much for that question. You could join in, too. The number is 800-642-1234. An email, there's a big market out there for supplements that say they'll improve your digestion, grow more hair in your head, or improve your metabolism.
Go ahead. And not just that, improve other things, too, that we won't talk about on public radio. But everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say that.
Well, the question is, how can you sort out what you need or what you don't, and to what extent are these
real? That's right. So supplements are not controlled by the feds. Number one, not controlled by the feds. They can put whatever they want to in them. So it can say, we'll say it's got, let's say, a coenzyme Q. Let's say 10 milligrams. It might have 0 milligrams or 100 milligrams. So there's a website I like called consumerlab.com. You've got to buy into it. I don't know what it costs per month. I get it free because I'm on media and I often talk about them, but they're great. He's been around, maybe for two decades, a long time. Like Consumer Reports, he does independent research. If you're on a supplement, you want to know whether or not that supplement is really a good supplement and what the cost is. you know, per unit of thing. So that's one way to do it. Consumer Reports gives some supplements, but not as many as Consumer Lab. If you're taking a supplement and you use a house brand, I think that's more likely to be real. Costco, Walmart, CVS, Target, Walgreens, they're going to check their supplements because they don't want a newspaper article to come out to say Walgreens brand melatonin doesn't have melatonin in it. So they're going to do their internal due diligence. That's one way to look at it. The only supplements I believe in, first of all, I think you need calcium. I think you should get about 500 milligrams of calcium every day, the other 500 or more from food. So I think that's important. If you want to take another 1,000 milligrams, you can do it. But the real break is at least, 500 naturally, 500 from that. Vitamin D. And now a multivitamin, I've gone back and forth. The other supplements, they come and go. Vitamin E, they come and go. Coenzyme Q comes and goes. So you have to make your own individual decision. There's not a lot of science behind these. There's a lot of talk. So, and I'm a science guy, so I can only talk about science. I can't talk about anecdotal information where somebody says, I took this supplement and I got and more energy.
Yeah.
I don't know who that person is, you know.
Jim and Stevens Point, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Dr. Zorba and Larry. About 10 years ago, I ended up in the ER with what turned out to be a gallbladder that needed to be removed, and that was removed and all was well. But when I was in the ER, a kind nurse told me about a heartburn medication called Alka-Seltzer gummy, and she said, this is the best, and you should always use this. And I started to, and it works great. They have just now discontinued that medication, and I'm wondering if you could recommend something that really works well for heartburn.
Well, first of all, I don't know what's in the Alka-Seltzer gummy. I mean, Alka-Seltzer has something like bicarbonate of soda in a fizzy form and aspirin in it. That was one of the Alka-Seltzers. I don't know what's in it right now. And if you go to Google, by the way, just Google it up or go to a ChatGPT and see what was in the Alka-Seltzer gummy. And once again, you want to say the Alka-Seltzer gummy because there are gummies for children and gummies for adults who live in Illinois. And there are different kinds. There are different kinds of gummies. There's the THC gummy, which was not in the Alka-Seltzer. So I mentioned that in a funny way, but you've got to be very careful when you look at that. Heartburn. Best thing is famotidine, F-A-M-O-T-I-D-I-N-E. Famotidine Zantac is now an over-the-counter brand. You can get generic. That's very good. That's the first step for heartburn. You can also do Prilosec over-the-counter. That's good. And for some people, it's just taking a Tums every day. 500 milligrams to 750 milligrams. Try all of those. They're all different. They're all available over the counter. Try one, then the other, and see what works.
What happens with heartburn? I mean, what's going on in the body?
Well, when we're older, we sag. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? If you look in the mirror, you sag. And when you're a certain age, you know, if you had a six-pack ab, which I never had, it doesn't look the same as you get older. Well, the esophageal sphincter, and that's a kind of a muscle at the end of the esophagus, should be tight enough so that acid from the stomach doesn't go up towards the esophagus. Because most of it is gastroesophageal reflux disease called GERD. It's mostly acid shooting up there. And what you want to do is reduce the acid. So Tums or Rolaids is an alkaline solution. It'll make it less acidic. Famotidine works with some receptors that block the receptors from that. And the other drug, Prilosec, once again, these are both generic, but the name brand is easier, works on another set of receptors. And basically, it's an acid problem in the stomach. That's what it is.
I'm learning a lot today on the show. I wonder how sales of Astapro are going to go up after this show is over. I can tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of Astapro. Zorba, it is such a pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to having kind of regular visits with you next year on the show. In the meantime, stay well with Dr. Zorba Pastor.
Right.
Podcast.
That's right. The pleasure is mine to be here, Larry. And like I always say at the end, stay well.
Dr. Zorba Pastor will become a regular guest on our show. And I'm looking forward to that. I had a lot of fun today with talking with him and learned a lot in the process. We are coming up, the weather guys. John and Steve will be talking about snow, lightning, and a whole lot more. That coming up next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. And don't forget that recipe. We'll be posting that after 2 o'clock, and it's a good one.